Okay, I want to tell you just a short story about which actually goes to polymer physics, and it's about structures we've heard about from Ken Dill and certainly in Henri's introduction, these compact polymers or Hamilton walks. This is work that we've been doing for the last couple of years with Jesper Jakobsen, who's now at Orsay, and there's a lot of different results, and what I wanted to do is try to sort of give you a flavor of what kind of interesting things we learned from studying the statistical mechanics of these structures, and I'll focus on one quantity with this, which is this loop formation exponent relating to the loop entropy, which has been also discussed quite a lot in this workshop. And so that's going to be, so mainly I'll just introduce that concept and I'll try to give you some idea of how we calculate this loop entropy, and then I'll try to summarize and tell you what we've learned from this calculation, and maybe you can all tell me how we can maybe expand this to some more interesting problems. So in this you've seen many times now, so I've completely skipped all the introductions which start from RNA, DNA, cell, and whatnot, and this is really the problem that I want to focus on. So what I'll be interested in is just some random walk, and I'll be interested in counting the number of configurations of this random walk that are where the random walk is of length L, and the two ends are separated by distance R. And typically for random walks, when this R and L are very large, you can write this this function Z R and L in a scaling form. This has been known for, I guess, hundreds of years by now. The scaling form sort of looks like this. What it says basically is that when R becomes small, you recover the entropy of closed loops, which I denote here Z naught of L. But then there's some factor R to the theta, which is actually an effective entropic repulsion between the two chain ends. And this universal scaling function tells you that the end-to-end distance of this random walk grows like L to some power nu. And this is the swelling exponent. I just wanted to do this so as to show you what's another way of getting at these cyclization or loop formation exponent C. Namely, if I take if I assume the scaling form and now I just integrate left and right over all possible values of R, then on the left-hand side I will get simply the number of random walks where you don't care where the walk ends, you don't care what R is. On the right-hand side, you will get this prefactor, the number of loops, and then there will be some power law correction, where you have L, the length of the walk, to some exponent. And this is essentially, this factor here is the loss of entropy you get, essentially, due to forming a loop, due to the fact that this random walk forms a loop. And this is called a loop formation exponent. So here's an simple example how this formula works. For just simple random walks where there's no self-avoidance, this anomalous term disappears, and you have theta equals 0. Nu for random walks is a half, so you get this result, which we've heard many times by now, that this loop formation exponent is just a dimension of the space divided by 2. So it's 3 halves in 3 dimensions, and it's 1 in 2 dimensions. And I'm a two-dimensional kind of person, as if you talk to my wife, she'll tell you all about that. But I just live in two dimensions, and I want to specialize into two dimensions because two dimensions is main reason is because I can calculate something exactly, and I want to tell you that by doing an exact calculation, I can learn something which I can't learn by doing, I believe that I can't learn by doing the kinds of mean field calculations that Henri told us about. So I'll specialize to 2D self-avoiding walks. And here's another little recap of what's known about the loop entropy of 2D self-avoiding walks. This is about 15 years worth of work. And the way I've sort of divvied things up is I will consider self-avoiding walks, and I will look first at the usual self-avoiding walk, which essentially fills a vanishing fraction of the lattice, right? basically because the dimension of such a walk is 4/3. On those are also sometimes called dilute polymers, and in two dimensions there are exact results for theta and nu, and that's what you need in order to calculate this loop entropy exponent c. And the main thing to notice is you get, okay, some funny number, 59 over 32, but you get 1. So basically, the main thing to notice is you get a number that's slightly, well, quite a bit bigger than 1. For random walks, you would just get 1 in two dimensions. And this extra bit essentially tells you that because of the self-avoidance, the two ends of this polymer don't like to be close to each other. They're repelled, effectively. And now if you go to denser polymer systems, so there's a concept of a dense self-avoiding walk where the walk fills a finite fraction of the lattice, then this these exponents theta and nu change, consequently c changes, and again you get a c that's slightly greater than 1, which simply interpreted means that these two ends still know about each other. They still entropically repel, but now by a smaller amount. So the thing to notice is that 3 over 16 is smaller than that number. the question we posed is what happens when you go to the fully compact state, namely when you have a random walk that's self-avoiding, but that completely fills the space that it occupies, so that this f is actually equal to 1. What is c, or if you want, what is theta? Obviously, we only need theta because the swelling exponent nu is, again, just going to be 1/2 because the object is a two-dimensional object. So the first thing we might expect is that, again, we'll get c, which is at least 1. And then the question is there some correction? In other words, the question is the loop entropy completely described by a random walk kind of model, which is what you would get if you looked at old books and read about Flory theory of polymer melts. And that's what Henri told us about as well. So to cut to the chase, what we find in two dimensions is that the C is not 1. And now this is the most important slide of the talk. Instead of C, I will use gamma. Of course, it's the same thing, alpha, beta, gamma, A, B, C. that's right. It's actually, of course, you would make that point. yes, it's just a definition. So hopefully I've explained to you what the problem is. So these are my compact polymers. They're self-avoiding walks that visit every site, say, of the square lattice. And what I would like to understand is what is the entropy loss that I get if I force the two ends to come together. So what's the entropy loss due to loop formation of these compact structures? Okay. And in order to calculate that, all I need to do is somehow count all the compact walks that start from some position and end at another position, where I fixed those two positions. that's a very, yes?
The problem is a global character, right? There could be some walks that you started out on and then you find it cannot.
Yes. Yeah, I sometimes like to call these frustrated polymers.
What fraction of walks cannot complete? Likely or very unlikely?
Let me put it this way. The number of compact structures is far less. This is what Henri told us about. It's far less than the number of self-avoiding walks of the same length. But if you give me 5 minutes, I'll just quickly go through some of these polymer physics okay, whatever you guys want.
Before they disappear.
Yeah. 10-minute break, okay?